and welcome to the Mean Time to Insight podcast, brought to you by Enterprise Management Associates and presented by EMA Vice President of Research, Seamus McGillicuddy. The EMA Mean Time to Insight podcast explores emerging trends and technologies in the world of network infrastructure and operations.
Hey there, this is Seamus McGillicuddy from Enterprise Management Associates, and I am the analyst here that tries to understand all things network infrastructure and operations. I survey and talk to network engineers and architects all the time about what they're doing with their networks, building and managing them, why they're changing the way they do things, what their challenges are, what their goals are for the future. In this episode, I'd like to talk to you about why I think there may not be enough of them in the near future. These people that I try to help build a better future for networking. There's a scarcity of these network engineers in the world. EMA publishes research every 2 years, known as the Network Management Megatrends Report. We've been doing it since 2008. Beginning in 2022, I started asking people in that research. We usually survey anywhere from 300 to 500 people each time. I think in the 2026 edition, which publishes in May of 2026, we surveyed 350 people who have responsibility for network infrastructure and operations in some way. In the 2022 edition of that report, we asked them, how easy or difficult is it for you to hire and retain people with network engineering skills and expertise? 26% of people in 2022 said that it was difficult. Not too high. In 2024, we asked the question again, and that number of people who said hiring network engineers was easy or difficult rose from 26% saying it was difficult to 41% saying it's difficult. Pretty big spike over a two-year period. And then this year, 2026, we asked the question again, and this time the response had risen to 52% saying it's difficult. So in 2022, roughly a quarter of the people we surveyed said it was getting hard to hire network engineers. And now in 2026, it's more than half. It's 52%. That's doubled. It's doubled. So what do we do? What's going on? Some people think that AI is going to help us with this, that, if we have AI technology embedded in our tools and our processes, we don't need a lot of people. I don't know if that's the case. I'm seeing signals in my research to say the opposite is the case. But let's go into what's going on in the talent pipeline. Like, why are people telling us that they're having a hard time hiring people to build, manage their networks? I've seen a stat making the rounds recently. People keep saying 25% of network engineers are set to retire within 5 years. I keep seeing that stat. I don't know where it came from. So I Googled it and found that people's usage of it is dubious, but perhaps not outlandish. It's based on a 2023 survey of CIOs conducted by OpenGear. So it's 3 years old, and it actually found that 86% of CIOs expect 25% of their network engineers to retire within 5 years. And this was 3 years ago. So I guess that's actually going to happen in 2028, not 5 years from now. But 86% of CIOs expect 25% of network engineers to retire by 2028. That was what I gathered from my Googling and finding this OpenGear survey. I don't know what the other 14% of CIOs in that survey are thinking. Are they expecting a higher percentage of network engineers to retire, a lower percentage of network engineers to retire, or no engineers to retire? Who knows? Because it was just a press release from a vendor that surveyed a certain number of people in 2023. But anyway, it does represent a signal that there's some turnover coming, and are people prepared for it? Anecdotally, I talk to people all the time about this topic, and they often have been telling me recently that a lot of their senior engineers are nearing retirement, and that they truly struggle to find people with mid-career experience to fill their shoes. One guy told me that he's been trying to hire a mid to high level network architect for about 18 months. Every resume he got was from either somebody that had 25 years of experience or 1 to 2 years of experience. And he couldn't find anyone in between, which is, what his sweet spot would have been. I don't know, 10 to 15 years of experience was probably what he's looking for. He told me he ended up training someone from within. But the talent pipeline is apparently broken because, as my research shows, it's getting harder to hire. What's going on? One thing I've been hearing a lot about is that other technical roles for years have been more appealing. Like, networking is not a sexy topic, apparently. I've been focused on it for 20 years, but apparently some people don't want to. I would hear that, technical people coming onto the job market or entering the job market mid-career have retooled themselves. They're attracted to DevOps roles and application development roles and cloud roles. That's where the future is, they think, not switching and routing and Wi-Fi and managing all that and securing all that. You know, I mean, that was what people were saying like 4, 5, 6 years ago. Now it's AI. Like, oh, AI, I'm going to be an AI developer. I'm going to be an AI guru. I'm going to be an AI center of excellence person. Who cares about networking? But then you talk to people who are trying to build AI factories, and they tell you that the biggest problem that needs to be solved in them is networking. Also, universities are not churning out a lot of network engineers that are useful, at least, like, because the university curricula cannot keep pace with the change that's going on in the market. So graduates often coming out of universities, either they're not studying networking or they're studying networking that isn't aligned well with current industry requirements. So it's hard to find good entry-level people coming out of university. You got to train them. One thing that we're seeing in the talent pipeline is that the Network Operations Center is shrinking. The Network Operations Center, or the NOC, as people refer to it in general parlance, has always been a training ground for network engineers. Level one technicians or responders, they sit in that role and they get alerts and tickets and they evaluate them and they think about whether they can fix them. And usually they figure out, well, I think I need to send this to that person. That level two engineer, that level three engineer is going to know how to fix this. And as a result, they collaborate with those advanced engineers. They get on the job experience on how to work with them to solve a problem together. And that teaches them about how networking works in more detail. They learn more about the nuances of network architecture, and they learn about common patterns that you might see and how a network behaves. And you also learn about how the network of your organization works. And you eventually graduate from working in the NOC to being in the network engineering team or the IT architecture team or the network security team, and you become more valuable over time to your organization. Problem is, automation has taken over many entry-level tasks in the NOC, removing opportunities for learning, but also reducing the headcount and thus the talent pool that people can develop future engineers within. Also, the skill set requirements for network engineers are constantly expanding. The people I survey and talk to tell me that they are struggling to hire people with network security skills, network automation skills, and networking for AI skills, meaning building low latency, high bandwidth networks with congestion control and so forth. Those are new skills that people need to learn if they haven't learned them already. Like, it's not just routing and switching. It's not just monitoring and troubleshooting. You need to know how to secure your network. You need to know automation, which means you may need some Python skills, may need to learn some new tools like Ansible and so forth, NetBox. And if your organization needs engineers that can build networks for AI applications, you're going to need to learn things like RDMA over Ethernet protocols and how to build a network that can avoid congestion and things like that. It's constantly having to learn more and more and more. Like, a lot of network engineers tell me they need people who have traditional networking skills and programming skills, and it's hard to find those people. I often hear people tell me that engineers just don't want to expand their skill sets. Like, they've been doing the same thing for 15 plus years, ports and protocols and CLI, and that's how they want to do things. And there's sort of a demarcation between those who want to learn new things and those who don't. And so it's hard to keep pace, and it's hard to hire people to have an expanding skill set. So that's why the talent pipeline is broken. How can AI help? Well, it could help, but I think it could also harm. We'll go through both of those real quick. How can AI help? Well, first, in research that we have coming out, we asked people, how are you dealing with your network engineering skill shortage? The number one response was AI-driven network management. We are hoping that our vendors will provide us with features that streamline a lot of tasks, automate a lot of tasks, lift up lower skilled people by giving them the information they need to understand an issue or a requirement. There are other things they're doing, though. They are upskilling their staff. They're training them. But, you know, who does that training? The vendors. You need mentors in-house to teach these people, actually, the nuances of your network. So that's going to be really important. It's like aligning your existing engineers who may be retiring soon to mentor the people coming up. And then automation orchestration tools is also something that most of them are trying to do. Unfortunately, automation is one of the skill sets that IT organizations are struggling to hire for right now, as I mentioned a few minutes ago. How does AI help, since it is the number one thing people are hoping to turn to mitigate the skills crisis? 68% of people said, well, it's going to make our existing personnel be able to execute tasks more quickly, which means that they'll be able to take on the next task more quickly, and the next task, force multiplier. That's what they're saying. Also, most of them said that it's going to reduce errors, which, you know, will lead to better, more resilient networks that are easier to manage, more secure networks that are easier to manage because you're not introducing vulnerabilities through errors, things like that. So that's good. That can mitigate things. Most of them also said that AI will reduce toil and busy work. That's great. I still talk to people who say when they get an audit request from the compliance group, it can sometimes take them a week to do it. It'd be great if AI could automate some of that. And half of them told me that it's going to improve how their people collaborate, which is good because collaboration is the currency of mentor or mentee relationships, for instance. So that could help if, like, AI is a facilitator of collaboration through workspaces where, like, an AI agent is, like, telling you what it's seeing, what it thinks is going on, and what it thinks would fix the problem. problem or avoid the problem from happening. Multiple people of varying levels of expertise can be in that environment with that AI tool and talk to each other in the tool's user interface about what they think of the recommendations and insights that the AI is giving them. And our experienced engineer could say, oh, this is why I think it's right, or this is why I think it's wrong. And the less experienced engineers will learn something in that respect. So better team collaboration could be a big boost. And then finally, a small number of the people we surveyed recently said they thought that AI would empower lower skilled employees. People who have less knowledge about the network would be able to do more in managing that network because AI would just give them some ideas about what's going on and what they need to do. And that was an opportunity for larger enterprises more than smaller ones. I think larger enterprises that have maybe a lot more tier one people in their NOC might see better value from that. So AI can help in those ways, but how can it hurt? Well, AI can cause more trouble than it's worth. Like, it can make mistakes, which then the people who are already resource constrained are going to have to figure out and fix. Also, it can eliminate jobs. And if you're eliminating jobs, you're eliminating the training ground for your people. One architect told me recently that his CIO thinks that AI will allow the company to eliminate all the tier one analysts and technicians in their network operations center. And I just got through telling you that a lot of IT organizations look to the NOC as a training ground for advanced network engineering personnel, right? So if you eliminate the training ground, where are those people going to come from? If every organization eliminates the training ground, they're not going to come from anywhere unless you take steps to remediate that. This is the talent pool for your next wave of network engineers. Reducing headcount there is short-sighted because AI is not going to replace everybody. It might replace low-skilled people, but then you don't have a place for low-skilled people to turn into higher-skilled people. So it's a chicken or egg thing. So as you adopt AI for network management, you got to pay attention to how it impacts your talent pipeline. You might see it as a way to fix your talent pipeline issues, but it could also make them worse. So don't remove the people from the top of your talent pipeline funnel by eliminating the jobs where they go. Think about the potential impacts on that. And also think about how people are going to work with AI and maintain and develop their skills at the same time. I think of it like so many people can no longer find their way to places in their car without GPS. They rely on GPS so much to get them anywhere. Like, they might drive somewhere like 30 times and they use GPS every single time they get there. And if you take away their GPS, they're not going to be able to get there, even though they've driven there 30 times. Same thing can happen with AI. You know, you got to exercise the brain. You got to develop the brain. You got to maintain your skills. You should look to AI as a way to be faster, to reduce errors and reduce busy work and let your people tackle complex and difficult problems themselves and learn, and then maybe collaborate with AI. I'd say, like, when you adopt AI, one way to turn it to your advantage in your talent pipeline is to focus on how people can collaborate with each other and with it. Think about how AI can help your experienced engineers mentor entry-level people. And also think about how you can adopt AI that empowers those entry-level people. Rather than eliminate level one response teams, give them AI tools that allow them to do more and learn more. And if your vendors are giving you AI tools, say, hey, do your AI tools have explainable AI features that sort of tell us why you have developed this insight and made this recommendation so that my less skilled employees can read that and like learn from it and re-verify it? And do you have workflows for validating AI insights so that we can use those as learning opportunities? Like, here is something that happened. The AI came up with the solution. We implemented it. Now here is a workflow that allows you to validate what the insight was. Go and do that as homework. Like, use AI to develop your people. Don't use AI to get rid of your people. That's the opportunity. So that's it for me. Those are just some thoughts I have on the network engineering pipeline. I'm going to do like dedicated research to this issue in the near future. So stay tuned for that. And I'll be back next month with a new episode. So thanks for listening.
Thanks, Seamus, for all your great insights on today's topic. And thank you to everyone who listened. Learn more about Enterprise Management Associates, research and consulting services by visiting enterprisemanagement.com.